You're listening to Breadbox Media. Find out more at breadboxmedia.com.
Welcome to A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras here on Breadbox Media. I am so thrilled this morning to share with you Cassandra Poppy. She is the author of the new book, Fire of Love. She, what's that called? Blogging. That's a word. That's a new word for Allison. Not really. She blogs over at letusneal.blogspot.com. She's going to share with us her Friendly Face Forward initiative. I can't wait to hear all about all the things that she is working on, all with in light of this accident her son had, this tragedy her family had to walk through, but the Lord carried her through it. And she's just such an example of how when you open up your heart to God, no matter how difficult, he's going to hold your hand, bring you to the other side, and give you great peace and joy. But as we were just talking before we went live, it didn't happen overnight. So let's welcome Cassandra Poppy onto the show and get to her story. Welcome to the show, Cassandra.
Thank you so much for having me.
It is such a pleasure to finally hear your voice. I've been reading your writing for so long. We both blog over at CatholicMom.com. We both contribute there. Very blessed to share that with you. And I see, as I read your book, Fire of Love, you have this great story in there of your meeting your husband and that great, or as it, you share, not so great love affair as you in it first began. So why don't we start there and let us know a little bit about yourself and Jay.
All right. Well, as you said, it wasn't one of those sweeping romance stories to be sure. Jay and I joke about it now that he was more of a Prince Alarming than a Prince Charming when I first met him. I met him in a sports bar. I was a cocktail waitress, and he was the manager of the pizza delivery service in the back of the restaurant.
And oh my gosh.
I didn't drive. I didn't drive. I still don't, actually. And the bus schedule just worked out that I couldn't get to work when I needed to. Either I would be half an hour early or an hour late based on the bus schedule. So the owner of the restaurant said, well, I'll tell you what, Jay's going to drive you to and from work every day. So we were kind of forced together at that moment. And, that's how we met.
And you didn't immediately fall in love. So when did that turning point happen? How did you eventually become a couple?
I would say a few years after we met. As I talk about in my book, soon after I met him, I did become pregnant. And mm-hmm. We kind of vacillated over whether we were going to even have the baby or not. And by God's grace, we did. I'm so glad.
That's kind of a miracle coming from the 1980s, where I don't think many people, especially young people that I knew growing up, the same age growing up in that time, I don't think a lot of people made that same decision at that age. So what a blessing that the Lord led you there, even though you didn't probably at that point know it was the Lord leading you there.
So we kind of had that rough start. We knew that we didn't really love each other, but once we decided to have our baby, we stuck together through that, and we had a lot of problems for several years until he finally converted at Easter year 2000.
Wow!
And then I followed close behind. So and I think it was after that conversion that that we really started to actually realize what love was. So now, there's probably 6 years.
There was a point in your book, again, the book is Fire of Love, and my guest today is Cassandra Poppy. There was a point in the book where you kind of decide, all right, this is it. I'm just going to go ask him for a divorce. And you kind of storm into the room and you think those words are going to come out of your mouth, and instead you say, let's try church, or we're going to church. And I laugh because I had kind of a similar experience with my husband. We met when we were 16 and 18, though we were in love when we got married at 21 and 23. We were struggling. We were poor. We were trying, again, the 80s kids, trying all the materialistic stuff, like this stuff is going to make us happy, and nothing was going to make us happy. And I really thought like I was going to ask him for a divorce, and instead kind of felt, let's try church first. And 27 years later, God, thanks be to God, we're still together. But it's amazing, you know, that how much a faith can really change the course of your life. And no one would have told me that before it happened. I'd be like, yeah, right, God, you know, doesn't have that much power. Or even if he exists, you know, this invisible being is really going to change the course of my life. Yeah, I don't think so. So.
Yep. But
so what is your faith story? So you said a conversion. So born Catholic or kind of came back to it?
I'm kind of I guess you'd call me a hybrid of sorts. Mm-hmm. Literally, people would consider me a revert. I was born and baptized as Catholic, went through the sacraments when children usually do throughout my life, but never once did I ever consider myself Catholic. I didn't understand it. It really meant absolutely nothing to me. It was just kind of something I did.
Yeah.
So
I can relate to that.
It was very much about self-worship my whole life.
Yep. I'm going to again blame the 80s, Cassandra. Just going to blame the 80s. I had to laugh. You were telling a story about going for your confirmation, and you know they were told you how to pick a saint as a confirmation. And part of the confirmation process is picking a patron saint, somebody to travel that journey with you. I had no idea at all, and I picked the name Saint Louise because my godmother was named Louise. I don't even think I even looked her up. I had no idea about it, but I laugh because tell us the answer you gave the priest when asked.
Okay. Just to show how bad my formation was, I think it was probably about 2 weeks before I was to be confirmed. And the priest said, okay, now you guys need to, decide who your patron saint's going to be and all that. And he kind of went around the room, and I'm hearing all these names I'd never heard of before. And he comes to me, and I said, well, Mother Teresa. Of course, this is in the late 80s. Mother Teresa was very much alive then. So he just kind of looked at me. He's like, well, she needs to be dead.
Rule number one for being a saint, you must be dead.
Yeah. I was like, oh.
You were just forward thinking,
okay.
Cassandra.
You know, I figured she was the only good person that I really knew about at the time. She sounds like a good role model, And, so,
no, you
know,
were
we
just forward thinking.
Talking and,
you were ahead of
and the priest.
Funny.
Oh, go ahead.
No, just that you were very forward thinking. You were ahead of your time.
Yeah.
You just knew. You just saw it coming. That's awesome.
Yeah.
So the priest redirects you. So the priest redirects you to pick a new name, and who did you end up with?
Yes, I wound up with St. Teresa of Avila. He said that she always strove for perfection. Of course, in the 80s, to me, perfection meant looking perfect, living the perfect life and all that. And that was kind of the mentality that I was falling into at that time anyway.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I thought, oh, sure, okay, trying to be perfect. All right, I can follow her example. Never studied anything about her, of course. So it's almost like she chose me.
I love that expression. She chose me. I didn't know anything about the saints growing up. My family never really, we didn't pray about them. I knew a little bit about Saint Anthony because one of my grandmothers used to use him to find stuff. And I knew about Saint Joseph because I remember my mother burying a statue in our yard to sell it, which is really just an FYI for anyone considering buying the St. Joseph statue. It's about the novena, the prayers that you say, not about putting the poor little guy upside down in front of the yard. Just saying. It might be a little bit of idols, which we do not believe in the Catholic faith. But so did you grow up? Well, you said a hybrid. So did your family attend Mass at all when you were a kid, or did you know anything about the saints?
We attended Mass most Sundays, but not. It was never really talked about outside. It was just kind of something we did. You know, sometimes after Mass, we get to go to McDonald's and get a little ice cream sundae or something if we were able to say something that we heard in Mass, you know, which was kind of neat. But it just really wasn't a part of our life. Yep. As far as the saints go, all I really knew about was St. Nicholas and St. Patrick, just because of our Irish upbringing.
Okay.
So
right.
We knew a lot about St. Patrick.
St. Valentine? That's fascinating. Like St. Patrick, it's like St. Anthony. I always thought it was an Italian saint and find out he's actually Portuguese, which I am. Same thing with St. Patrick.
Oh, wow.
You think of him being Irish, but he's really Scottish. I love that part. Like when you start to really get deeper into the saints. We're talking this morning with Cassandra Poppy, and we're going to be looking at her new book, Fire of Love. And she's going to share with us just the really traumatic experience that her family experienced when her son Fulton had a farming accident. I'm going to let her tell the story. It's just amazing. Again, I was telling her before we went live that she's such an incredible storyteller. Fire of Love, the first chapter was a little difficult for me to read, yet I felt so drawn to continue to read because she drew me into the experience her family was having. I felt like I was absolutely there. And then I needed to know what happened next. Like, how did the Lord bring them to the point where she's able to write a book and start a Friendly Face Forward initiative and all the wonderful things that have come as God promises in Romans 8:28 to bring good for all who love him. Please stay tuned for more with Cassandra Poppy right after these messages. You're listening to A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras here on Breadbox Media. We'll be right back.
You are listening to Breadbox Media Podcast. Check out our live stream at breadboxmedia.com. Breadbox Media. Get the app. Change the world.
Welcome back to A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras here on Breadbox Media. We're joined this morning by Cassandra Poppy. She is from letusneal.blogspot.com. Her new book, Fire of Love, is what we're talking about today. And we'll get into that very quickly. But first, I just want to ask you just quickly, how long have you been married for now?
Oh, see, you can't ask me dates and lengths of time. I'm horrible with that. I've been married for over 20 years.
All right.
Goodness.
That's enough to know. Over 20 years is good.
I bet. You know, I call up to make doctor's appointments with my kids, and they're like, okay, and what are their, you know, what year were they born? I'm like, I don't know. One's 14, one's different.
That's really funny. You know, I have a daughter that's adopted, so I wasn't there at her birth, and they made up her birth date anyway. So sometimes they'll ask me the question at, you know, the doctor's office, like, your daughter's date of birth, and I look at them like blankly, and I think they're going to take her back. They're going to be like, you stole the kid. I can't help you with that. I mean, it wasn't like my first one who was so dramatic. He came 2 months early on the Immaculate Conception. I had just started going back to church and I was like all upset because it's going to be my first holy day that I actually made it to church for. And I couldn't go. And I was telling the nurse, like, I can't have this baby right now. I need to go to church. She's like, I think God will understand.
Yeah.
He wasn't waiting. So how many children do you have?
I have 7. My oldest is 23. He's the one we were talking about before. And my youngest is 18 months.
18 months. I was just, again, say before we went live, the last time I gave birth was around, I was 29 years old. And because I obviously adopted the last one, I was thinking that was, you know, traumatic at almost 30. I can't imagine. having a child later than that. So 18 months to 23. That's amazing. And one of your little guys is named Fulton, and he is the subject or part of the subject of your book, Fire of Love. Why don't you kind of bring us into that story now?
Okay. Fulton, he's 8 years old now. And we live on a homestead in the middle of nowhere in Oklahoma. And when he was 4.5 years old, he was helping the family with one of our homestead chores. We had to prepare the chickens for the freezer. I think that's a polite way of saying it.
Okay.
So he went outside with the boys. I have two other sons besides Fulton, and they were gathering sticks and building up the fire just to take care of the fun stuff, you know, the little byproducts that you don't want to put in the freezer. And Fulton was coming up behind my husband with a handful of sticks, and Jay didn't realize that he was there, and he just gave the fire a squirt of gasoline, and the flame traveled up the spout and into the can, and the can exploded in my husband's hands. And my my son, who's now 15, he witnessed it. He said that there was a mushroom cloud of flame that singed the branches 30 feet high in the oak tree behind my husband, and fireballs were just shooting out everywhere, and one of them went under my husband's arm and hit Fulton right in the chest. So that's a little hard to talk about.
I'm sure. And, you know, and I've seen you write about this. Just give you a minute to kind of I've seen you write about this, the dangers of putting gas on a fire. You know, people just don't think it's going to happen to them. And I don't think people even realize some of the dangers, you know, spraying aerosols. And you think, oh, it's not going to go back into the aerosol can. You think you're pouring out you know, gas, you don't think it's going to travel back in. And I know that's,
right.
We're going to talk a little bit more about that later in the show about, you know, the fire danger awareness and things, but it's just, it's amazing, you know, the simple things that we do that we have no idea, you know, the consequences. We're just trying to, you know, do our day to day. So, you know, this fireball hits Lil Fulton and he is obviously engulfed in flames. And so what happens next in the fam, like at the end that moment, if you...
I didn't even know what happened. I was in the kitchen, and I just heard this thump. It wasn't even the loud explosion. It was just more of a percussion.
Yeah.
And I kind of glanced out the window. I'm like, that was a weird noise, you know, and because at the same time, I heard my husband yell.
Yeah.
And I didn't see anything based on, you know, where the window was, but I saw little patches of grass on fire. And I just kind of rolled my eyes and like, oh, lovely, you know, grass fire.
Yeah,
you know?
I've been there.
And I turned to go back to what I was doing in the kitchen. And my daughter, Virginia, comes just tearing into the house. And she goes, Mom, Fulton's on fire. So I ran back to the window and I kind of looked to the side and I saw him. He was walking away from the burning barrel, just completely engulfed in flames. And so I ran out the door, you know, and I'm thinking, it's funny, I'm actually wearing the same sweater I was wearing that day. And I'm thinking, okay, do I smother him with this or is this going to catch fire too and make it worse? And all these thoughts are just going through my head a mile a minute. And I get out there, and by the time I take a step out the door, Jay is already on top of him, putting the flames out. And so, you know, I asked him, like, okay, do you want me to call 911, or do you want to take him into the hospital? Because we live about at least 30, 35 miles from the nearest decent hospital. So, you know, I figured if we had to wait for an ambulance, do we have that much time?
Right.
So he said he just screamed at me. He goes, call 911 now. So I did that, and I was not nearly as composed as I would have liked to have been when I called.
I think you get a pass on that one, Cassandra. I think the 911 operator and all involved understood composure not necessary in that moment, quite honestly. You really do strive for that perfection, don't you? I think you picked the perfect saint to travel with you in your life. We're talking this morning with Cassandra Poppy, and she's sharing with us her new book, Fire of Love. You can find out more at letuskneel.blogspot.com. It's also available on Amazon. And as I always say, you can please, if you have a local bookstore, a local Christian Catholic bookstore nearby, go there, look on the shelves. If they don't have it, ask for it, because you don't know if you're the one, if you're looking for it, somebody else might be looking for it, or they might be blessed by it. So to ask for books, bookstore owners are always thrilled to get them for you, to get them on the shelves. Again, Fire of Love, Cassandra Poppy. That's P-O-P-P-E. Okay, Cassandra. So how long does the ambulance take to get to you? I mean, what is happening in that time? And where in your faith, what's happening? So in that, where is your faith starting to come into play, or is it yet at all?
At that point, it very much was. Mm-hmm. And I'm so thankful for that. It was almost as if our Lord had prepared me for that time. Because after Jay and I worked through all of our marriage issues and things like that, and we started to take the Catholic faith seriously, once again with the years, it was about, 10 up to 13 years of just actively working on my faith. Mm-hmm. So by the time I reached that moment, I was very much, just doing the little, short prayers. I couldn't, kneel in front of my son, and say, the long memorized prayers, but the automatic short prayers just came to me.
Hold on there for a second and just ask you a little bit. You talk actively working on your faith, I know that I'm always curious of how people, encounter Christ in their day to day, and how do they become so faithful? So what are some of the things that you feel like you were doing in the last 10 years leading up to that moment that you would consider, part of that working on your faith?
I made the conscious decision to be open to whatever our Lord led me to, whatever he led me to. Whether it was, deeper prayer life, learning about the saints, deeper into scripture, all those things. I kind of went through different phases. My biggest hurdle once I converted, of course, was the whole Mary thing. I'm sure you probably hear that a lot from converts.
I do.
But once I understood it, I don't want to say cuddle up to Mary, but I would just, try to stay as close as I could under her mantle, and especially with the rosary. Once I understood the power and the prayer that is, it was a huge conversion moment for me.
I used to think that the rosary was just for old people, and I'd see like my grandmother praying it, and I would think that's, and I share on the show that my grandmother used to give it to me when I'd sleep over and I couldn't sleep. She'd say, "Here, pray your rosary." And I think that's an awesome idea, Grammy, because I'm going to be so bored. I'll be asleep in minutes. But that wasn't at all, because she understood the power of it. She understood, that calling upon our Blessed Mother, like any mother, being a mother myself, I think maybe that's why I understand it better now. I want to protect my children. I want to care for my children. I want to help and guide them and educate them. And that's all what Mary does. And of course, her greatest role is leading us to Jesus. You actually just gave me a great idea. I think I need to have a Mary show. Just made a connotation, then maybe I'll have you back to help me do a Mary show. We're talking today with Cassandra Poppy. We're learning about her new book, Fire of Love. When we come back, we're going to talk more about the events of that day and how the Lord carried her and her family through it. You're listening to A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras here on Breadbox Media, and we'll be right back.
You are listening to Breadbox Media Podcast. Check out our live stream at breadboxmedia.com. Breadbox Media. Get the app. Change the world.
Welcome Welcome back to A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras here on Breadbox Media. We're talking this morning with Cassandra Poppy, and we're looking at her new book, Fire of Love. You can find out more on letusneal.blogspot.com, or you can go to Pray for Fulton on Facebook. She has a Facebook page there. And at the end, I'm sure we'll have even more links, and they'll all be included in the show notes. So, Cassandra, you were sharing with us that during that moment, you were able to pull up those short prayers as you were sharing with us how you prepared for that moment through actively being prepared, being open to what God had wanted for you, getting this close relationship with our Blessed Mother. And now here it is, this unbelievable, the unthinkable is happening before you, and you're able to. So what prayers were coming to your mind? Which ones were you pulling from your heart to pray?
Oh, just the short ejaculations, you know, Jesus, Mary, Joseph, you know, just things like that. And they were all actually kind of jumbled together, a little bit of the Creed, a little bit of the Hail Mary, you know.
Yeah.
But it wasn't until we were actually being airlifted to Tulsa that I had the composure to actually put together an entire rosary,
wow.
Or at least some of the rosary anyway, the Joyful Mysteries. It was, you know, the rosary, like I was saying before, has been such a strong part of my faith life. St. Louis de Montfort kind of converted me to the rosary. And he ties in beautifully on the specific virtues for each of the mysteries. And it was really just focusing on the mysteries and applying the virtues that I felt I needed to perfect during the whole time I was with Fulton away from home that really kept me grounded. So it's just kind of, you know, I spent 3 months in Galveston just not only immersed in hospital and caretaking life, but also immersed in the mysteries of the rosary at the same time. And that's really
so
what helped
so
me
how
get
far,
through a lot of it.
And so how far away is that hospital from your home? And what was that like for your family? Did you have to move there? Did you have the Ronald McDonald House? Like how, because I know when my son was born 2 months premature, we spent some time at the Ronald McDonald House. I don't know if that was an availability. Like, how did you guys deal with that 3 months of being so far from home?
It was tough. But luckily we, when they took us to when they took us to Tulsa, the whole time they were telling me, oh, Tulsa has a wonderful, you know, well-known burn unit. They'll be able to take care of Fulton. And I was really at peace with that. And then they took a look at Fulton, and they said that he was too far gone, that there was nothing they could really do.
Wow.
So there was that that panic
like
moment,
what?
Like, okay, now what? But it turned
Were
out that the doctor who saw him, he did his training for burn care over at the Shriners Burn Hospital in Galveston. So he knew to call up the Shriners and say, we've got a patient for you. And they had already had the jet in the air coming from Galveston before I even gave my official consent.
That's amazing.
That's how important the time was that they get him to the Shriners Hospital. So I was very thankful that he had had that prior training, and he knew exactly who to call and to get
there
that
is
whole ball rolling.
You know, I talk about God's incidences a lot on here. I feel to me like the Lord makes himself present in these things that normal people are not normal people. We're all normal people. And where people who aren't of faith would say that they're coincidences. But when you look at that, like that doctor on call that day who had all that experience leading up, and he's right there when you need him, like that. If that doesn't help people see that there is a God, I really am not sure how else to convince people that God is, like, you know, the scriptures, they say he knows the number of hairs we have on our head, like how intimate he is involved in our life. And when we open ourselves to him, that he just puts those pieces together. Now, there's a part of your book that really spoke to my heart, and it's this whole idea that if I become faithful, if I follow the church, if I follow Jesus and do everything he asks, then my life is going to be perfect. And then that's not how it works. That's not how any of this works.
Not at all.
But
there's that danger of careful what you ask for.
Very much so. But then you have these moments where God puts exactly what you need in the tragedy, because our lives are going, we are, you know, we're human, we're living in this fallen world, and poop is going to happen. But then he puts exactly what we need in our place. And did you see at that moment, like, God at work in that? Or, you know, were you still too kind of wrapped up in the moment to see God at work in that God-sidence?
I was already aware, just because I had been kind of trained to be more aware by that point.
Yep.
I mean, not official training, but
I know exactly
I was used
what you mean.
To kind of seeing it. I mean, I'm not one to look at things and go, oh, well, that's a God thing, and oh, that's a God thing. You know, I'm very careful about, you know, claiming that everything is a God thing. But, you know, specific moments where you really, there's just no doubt about it. For instance, if I can kind of take a step back for a moment.
Please.
We're waiting to take off in the helicopter to go to Tulsa. And they told me that I could not ride with him. So I'm like, okay, well, I'll find a way. You know, my son can drive me, or, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
I was okay with that, but obviously I much would have preferred to have been with my son. And mm-hmm. I noticed that the pilot of the helicopter looked very much like my father, who had died of cancer a few years earlier. And I just was led to pray to my father, saying, okay, Dad, I don't know where you are, but if you're anywhere where you have some influence, if they can take me, you know, make something happen.
Right.
And one of the medics came up to me soon after, and she said, this is amazing, but the pilot actually said that you can come with. He's never done this before.
Wow.
So I was able to fly with him to Tulsa, and he met the pilot a couple years later over at the Clear Creek Monastery. They have a work day every year. And the pilot was there once again with his helicopter in case an emergency happened. And he remembered Fulton. And my husband said, well, what made you take my wife? And he goes, I don't know. Something just told me to that she needed to go with.
Wow.
So,
wow.
Yeah, so,
that's incredible. See those moments, you know, those, that's when I am so grateful that I have a faith, because I, like you, I did not really grow up with it. We went to church on Christmas and Easter. We didn't pray as a family. I didn't open a Bible until my confirmation year. And then I closed it again until I was 30 something. And now, like, I am one of those people, I have to be honest, Cassandra, I'm one of those people who finds God in everything, and butterflies and fidelity trucks that drive by my house. I see him in everything. It drives my spiritual director insane. He's like, it's not like I doubt that the Lord, you know, is really manifesting himself like this to you, because obviously you need it. But honestly, you do have to be prudent. I probably should reopen St. De Montfort's book and look a little bit at those mysteries versus the virtues. I could probably do a little bit with some prudence there. But I'm sure that the Lord didn't stop there with that one miracle. I'm sure you started to see them again. And if you didn't, you wouldn't have written a book, Fire of Love. Again, letusneal.blogspot.com. My guest is Cassandra Poppy. So what drew you to write a book about this experience?
It was, a lot of it had to do with the people who would contact me privately, asking for help, you know, mm-hmm. whether their own child was burned, or just asking for prayers, and, you know, just, they were really kind of amazed at the level of peace that I seemed to have. I mean, I wasn't always peaceful and, you know, completely composed, but, you know, whenever I would post anything on Facebook or on the care pages and stuff, I wasn't aware of it at the time, but I guess I just kind of expressed a level of peace and you know, let's just go with this and see where our Lord's going to take it. And people were wondering, oh, you know, how do I get to be like that? Mm-hmm. Or, you know, I could never be like you. It's like, well, I haven't even been like me very long. So, you know, I mean, you know, if you read the first half of my book, you'd see what a train wreck I was, you know. So
I appreciated that first half of your book. I was like, yay, it's not just me. But it's also that great model that saintly people or holy people are born holy, that it is a work in progress. And I'm sure there's every day you wake up and you still have to be like, all right, Lord, you gotta retrain me or keep me training and keep in that prayer. And it is a daily work in progress. It is a journey, and the journey isn't over this side of heaven. I'm sure you think that all the time, right? Not just me.
Yep. Oh, yeah.
Praise God for that. We're talking this morning with Cassandra Poppy. She's sharing with us the story of her family's, the tragedy of her son being burned, but yet just the Lord's just blessing in it and to see it as a blessing. And I read right along with so many other people, Cassandra, during that time. And you did really inspire so many people to, at least my heart, you inspired me to see God, because, you know, I'm an anxiety ridden person, but to see that, you know, if and when those trials come, my faith will carry me through. When we come back, I want to talk about Friendly Face Forward. We're talking again with Cassandra Poppy, and you're listening to A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras here on Breadbox Media, and we'll be right back.
You are listening to Breadbox Media Podcast. Check out our live stream at breadboxmedia.com. Breadbox Media. Get the app. Change the world.
Welcome back to A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras here on Breadbox Media. I'm joined this morning by Cassandra Poppy. You can read more of her wonderful writing on letusneal.blogspot.com. And today we're talking about her new book, Fire of Love, available on Amazon, but also your local bookstore. If they don't have it, ask them to get it. Easy enough. And if you're looking for it, somebody else might look for it or be blessed by it. And I'd asked Cassandra before we went to break why you wrote the book. And I'm sure it was to help others. But was there more to your decision to write Fire of Love?
It was partially, of course, a little bit just to help me sort things out. But really what came out of it was all the lessons that I learned that really could be applied to anybody. The second half of the book is the various things that came out to me afterwards that I hadn't even realized. And it was all just finding the beauty that is actually in suffering, learning to accept what God allows to happen in your life and to accept it as an actual gift, as a chance to perfect your soul and to grow in holiness. And part of that acceptance is just to say, okay, you know, you're letting this happen, you know, give me the graces I need to get through it and show me where this is supposed to lead.
Mm. At any point during this experience, did you feel abandoned by God?
No. I had known enough about saints at that point, unlike my earlier years, to know that, you know, there were going to be some dark moments, yeah, and to accept them and embrace them just as much as I would consolations. You know, a lot of people were saying, oh, if you just pray hard enough, I know a miracle is going to happen. Well, that's a lot of pressure, you know, because that may not be God's will. And I didn't want other people to lose faith in God if they didn't see, you know, some sort of miraculous healing going on with Fulton. I was at a point where I understood that, you know, for most of us, it's going to be the long way. You know, it's the long haul to heaven. And, you know, the obvious miracles don't always happen. And I was comfortable with that. So, no, I never really felt abandoned, even at the worst moments.
And, you know, you're really helping me again see that. Like, for me, whenever I think about prayer and God answering prayer, I know that he's going to answer it according to his ways. And his ways are not my ways. Isaiah tells us that in the Old Testament. But the answer to every prayer I've ever asked the Lord for has been peace. You know, it's not always the outcome, but there is of what I've asked. But again, he knows what I need better. And I loved how you said, like, perfecting my soul. Like, everything that God allows, he doesn't bring these tragedies, he doesn't bring these difficulties. He allows them because his ultimate goal for us is for us to be with him forever in heaven. And our soul needs to be prepared for that. And what a beautiful lesson that you are sharing with us today here. Again, we're talking with Cassandra Poppy and in your book, Fire of Love. But you also took this accident with your son and did even more with it. And tell us a little bit about Friendly Face Forward. What is this all about?
Okay. We were in the hospital surroundings for 3 months. And, you know, when you're in the hospital, you're surrounded by doctors. Everybody understands what happened, and all the other patients look, you know, they have the same burn scars and things like that. So it was very much a safe haven for folks and I to be in. But we found very quickly that once we came home, reintegrating him into the general public really took some work. We had been told by the psychologist at the hospital, just, you know, make sure he's prepared with, you know, my name is Fulton and I was burned, you know, and that's all he really would need to say. People would ask questions and stuff. But we found that nobody really asked questions. It was more kids, you know, I mean, we, some actual quotes is, "Oh, Mom, it's a monkey," you know, you know, "Dad, why is he so ugly?" You know, it wasn't kind questions that were coming our way. We had to find a way to help him, you know, not see himself the way other people were initially seeing him. So one day after a particularly heartbreaking moment in a Burger King Play Center, we kind of put our heads together and we came up with the idea of creating these little cards. He calls them his burn cards, and it explains a little bit about what happened. Mm-hmm. And not only that, but he wanted to include some information about burn safety, what to do if you're burned and how to prevent burns and that kind of thing on there. And once he had those cards in hand, it completely changed his outlook. Wow. I mean, every time we'd have to go to Walmart before then, it's like, I don't want to go. But now that he had the cards, he was excited to go because he had a way of expressing maybe what was a little bit more difficult back when he was 4 years old, you know, to tell people.
So does he hand these cards to people who are staring at him or saying the difficult things, or does he just randomly hand them? Like, what does he do with his burn cards?
He, once again, we'll just pick on poor Walmart. if we're in Walmart and he sees, you know, a child looking at him or whispering or even making a monkey comment or something like that, he'll just take a card. He's got his own little wallet with his little business cards in them. And he'll just take it out and he'll say, "I was burned." And he'll hand either the child or the parent who's with the child the card, and if they kind of stare at him, he'll point at it. He said, "This is what happened to me, and these are different ways that you can help be safe." And all of a sudden, the attention is drawn to the card instead of to what he looks like. And the parents, we have found, have been very relieved because, you know, most of the time they're just in complete horror what their child has said, you know. And the initial reaction is, "Oh, let's go, just, you know, walk away." And Fulton's like, "You know, it's okay. You know, I'm different. I know I look different. Let's talk about it." And then the parent regains control of the social situation, and the parent is, you know, given different things to point to for that child on the card. "Oh, look, it says here that he was burned, but his dad saved him," and, you know, that kind of thing. And everybody leaves with smiles instead of, you know, the tense, awkward feeling that used to come up before the cards.
You were talking earlier about miracles. It sounds like, you know, miracles don't always look in the way we expect them to. He may not have had a miraculous healing, but the Lord certainly is using this for good. Romans 8:28. I love that verse. But so what is, I know you have a website, Friendly Face Forward. Is it .com, .org?
It's .com. FriendlyFaceForward.com.
And what will I find if I go there?
My poor web designer, Patty, she's working frantically to get a couple of the last glitches out. So if something's not quite working, it should work by tonight.
And what will I find if I go there?
Basically, it explains a little bit about our story and what the cards are. And we are inviting, we're basically making Fulton's wish come true, where he wants any child who was burned to be armed with these cards.
Oh, awesome.
And he wanted it, of course, to be free. So,
yeah,
you know,
smart
you
boy.
Try to give your kid what they want, right? Well, we found a way to do it. Basically what FriendlyFaceForward.com is going to do is it's going to show people either how to use cards, if you need them, how to get the cards, or if you are inspired by Fulton's mission, how to sponsor a child so they can get their own cards.
That is amazing. And now he's 8. And I saw on Pray for Fulton that he's learning how to use a pommel horse. He's actually learning gymnastics.
He is. He's just kind of, and I don't mean the pun, but he's constantly on fire around here. I mean, he's so full of energy. So we signed him up for gymnastics class, and it's the real boy gymnastics class, not the girl stuff, you know, as he puts it. he's just a very active kid. He's just so friendly and cheerful and outgoing, and just nothing is holding him back now. I think that, you know, through that last emotional hurdle that he had with the social reintegration, we're hoping that he will continue along the vein that he's on right now, and continue to just be a little light and an inspiration.
And he is an inspiration. He's amazing. And so aren't you. Cassandra Poppy has been my guest today. Cassandra, thank you so much for spending this hour with me. It really has been quite tremendous.
Oh, thank you for having me.
And I wish you so much luck. Again, the book is Fire of Love. You can go to her website, letusneal.blogspot.com. You can get it on Amazon. Go ahead.
Oh, actually, it's not on my blog. It's CassandraPoppy.com.
Okay.
They can get it there or on Amazon.
Oh, all right. I'll make sure I have the the list for that. Sorry about that. Cassandra Poppy, POPPE.com. You can get it there. And also check out FriendlyFaceForward.com. Perhaps, you know, in your heart, you can sponsor a child and make Fulton's wish and this child's wish come true. What an amazing initiative. It's just been such such a story. You can go to Pray for Fulton on Facebook and join that group and keep up with Cassandra and Fulton. Thank you again, Cassandra, for joining me this morning.
Thank you, Allison.
You have been listening to A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras here on Breadbox Media. Tomorrow I'll be talking about love and the things that I love and some of the scriptures that I love. And then Friday, Christina Trinidad rejoins us after a little break. I'm so excited to bring Christina back and to find out what she's been up to. You've been listening to A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras here on Breadbox Media.
Thank you for listening to Breadbox Media Podcasts. Check out our live stream at breadboxmedia.com. Breadbox Media. Get the app, change the world.